Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe, and if you're into chips, silicon, and the hardware that's literally powering the future of AI, you're in exactly the right place. Before we dive in, a quick shout out to our sponsors, Ada, helping businesses integrate AI seamlessly into their workflows. Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting from AI all the way to SOE design. And Zen Semiconductor, the umbrella company building the processors and AI fabric behind modern data centers, with incredible ventures like their Sierra RISC-V CPUs and Loom AI Fabric, plus Ada for deploying AI at scale in any business. All right, we've got a packed episode today. We're talking advanced packaging showdowns between TSM, C, Intel Foundry, and Samsung. NVIDIA potentially shipping chips with less memory, and what AMD thinks about that. A bold challenger claiming their AI chip is 10 times faster than a GPU. And we're looking at NVIDIA's biggest hidden risk. Let's get into it. Okay, first up, advanced packaging. And I know, when people hear packaging, they think of the box a chip comes in, right? Like the little cardboard sleeve. But in the semiconductor world, packaging is so much more than that, and honestly, it might be one of the most important battlegrounds in chipmaking right now. So let's talk about what SemiWiki broke down, comparing TSMC, Intel Foundry, and Samsung Foundry on their advanced packaging technologies. Here's the core problem we're trying to solve. For decades, the semiconductor industry rode Moore's Law, basically. Every couple of years, you could cram twice as many transistors onto the same chip. More transistors, more performance, better efficiency, simple. But we're hitting physical walls now. Getting transistors smaller is getting harder, slower, and way more expensive. So engineers had to get creative, and advanced packaging is one of the most exciting solutions they've come up with. Think of it this way. Imagine you're building a city, and you've run out of land to build outward. What do? You go vertical. You build skyscrapers. Advanced packaging is kind of like that for chips. Instead of making one giant monolithic die, which is expensive, has lower yields, and hits those transistor scaling limits, you break the processor into smaller pieces called chiplets, and then you connect them all together in one package. It's modular, it's efficient, and it's becoming essential for AI hardware. Now, the three players being compared here, TSMC, Intel Foundry, and Samsung Foundry, all have their own flavors of this technology. TSMC has their CoWoS platform, which stands for Chip on Wafer on Substrate. This is the technology that's been critical for NVIDIA's H100 and H200 GPUs. It's how they stack high bandwidth memory alongside the GPU die and connect everything with incredibly dense interconnects. CoWoS has basically become the gold standard for high-performance AI chips right now. Intel Foundry brings their EMIB technology, embedded multi-die interconnect bridge, and their Foveros 3D stacking. Intel's been doing chiplet architectures for a while, particularly with their core processors and their Ponte Vecchio GPU. The idea with EMIB is you embed a tiny silicon bridge right in the package substrate to create high bandwidth connections between chiplets without needing a full interposer. It's elegant, and it keeps costs down compared to some alternatives. Samsung is in this race too with their iCube and X-Cube packaging solutions. Samsung's approach with X-Cube involves true 3D stacking, putting chips directly on top of each other with through-silicon vias, which are basically tiny vertical wires drilled right through the chip itself. It's impressive technology, though Samsung's foundry business has faced some challenges lately in terms of yield and customer confidence compared to TSMC. So why does this matter for AI? Because the bottleneck in AI training and inference is often not just compute, it's memory bandwidth. How fast can you get data to and from the chip? Advanced packaging lets you put high bandwidth memory, or HBM, right next to the compute die with massive bandwidth connections. The NVIDIA H100 has HBM3 stacked right next to the GPU die using CoWoS. That's not just a convenience, it's absolutely critical to why those chips are so powerful for AI workloads. If you're watching this space as an investor or engineer, advanced packaging is not optional. It's the future. All right, story two. And this one is interesting because it involves both NVIDIA and AMD. And there's a little bit of competitive drama here. Reports have surfaced that NVIDIA might ship some of its upcoming AI chips with less high bandwidth memory than originally spec'd. And AMD is basically saying, cool, we're not worried. Let's unpack both sides of this. So first, why would NVIDIA ship chips with less memory? A few potential reasons. One, and this is the big one, HBM is in tight supply. TSMC's CoWoS packaging capacity is constrained. SK Hynix and Micron are ramping HBM production, but it's an incredibly complex manufacturing process. If NVIDIA needs to ship more units to meet demand, one lever they could pull is reducing the HBM stack count per chip, which reduces the packaging complexity and frees up supply. It's a trade-off, but in a market where customers are desperately waiting for AI hardware, getting something out the door matters. Think of it like a restaurant during a supply shortage. Maybe you can't get enough of a premium ingredient for every dish, so you adjust the recipe slightly to serve more customers. You're not serving a worse meal. Necessarily, you're adapting to constraints. NVIDIA is essentially one of the most in-demand restaurants in the world right now, and HBM is their premium ingredient. Now, from a technical standpoint, less HBM memory could mean reduced memory capacity and potentially less memory bandwidth depending on the configuration. For some workloads, particularly inference at scale where you're running massive language models, memory capacity is genuinely critical. Fitting a huge model in GPU memory determines how you can deploy it. So this isn't a trivial change, but NVIDIA might be targeting these chips at use cases where the full memory stack isn't as critical, or offering them at a different price point. AMD's response is basically a shrug and a smirk, and I get it from a PR standpoint. AMD has been pushing their MI300X and upcoming MI350 series pretty hard. The MI300X actually has a huge memory advantage. It uses a unified CPU and GPU die with a ton of HBM3 stacked on top, giving it extremely high memory capacity. If NVIDIA ships a reduced memory product, AMD can position their chips as the memory-rich alternative for workloads that need it. But here's the nuance: AMD saying they're not worried is smart messaging, but NVIDIA's ecosystem advantage is massive. CUDA, the software stack, the developer tools, the optimized libraries, that's not something you overcome by having more gigabytes of HBM. NVIDIA could ship a chip with a post-it note stuck on it, and developers would still line up. Okay, that's an exaggeration, but the ecosystem moat is real. The memory situation is a supply chain puzzle, not a sign of weakness from NVIDIA. That said, AMD has a genuine shot at certain customers who need that memory headroom, and they should absolutely be pushing that angle hard. So for the industry, this story highlights something really important. The HBM supply chain is a genuine constraint on AI hardware scaling. We're not limited by how fast we can design chips anymore. We're limited by how fast we can manufacture HBM and how much CoWoS packaging capacity exists. Those are your real bottlenecks in 2024 and into 2025. Keep your eyes on HBM production ramp from SK Hynix, Samsung, and Micron. That's going to determine the pace of AI hardware availability as much as anything NVIDIA or AMD designs. Okay, story three, and this one always gets me. A new challenger claiming their AI chip is 10 times faster than a GPU. CNBC covered a company making this bold claim, and look, every few months we hear something like this. 10 times faster, 100 times more efficient. So let me give you a framework for how to think about these announcements, because they can be either genuinely exciting or heavily qualified marketing math. First, let's talk about what it even means to be 10 times faster than a GPU. Faster at what, exactly? This is the most important question. Are we talking about raw floating point operations per second? Inference throughput on a specific model? Training speed? Power efficiency? You can make almost any chip look amazing if you pick the right benchmark and compare it to the right GPU in the right configuration. I've seen claims compare against an old A100, while NVIDIA is already shipping H100s. That's like a new car company saying their electric vehicle beats a 2019 model in range, while ignoring that manufacturers have made three generations of improvements since then. Now, that's not to say all challenger chips are vaporware. There are genuinely interesting AI accelerator startups doing real work. Companies like Cerebras, Grok, Samba Nova, these folks have built real silicon with real customers and real performance advantages for specific workloads. Grok in particular has made a legitimate case for inference speed on language models. So the category of GPU challenger is not just hype, it's a real space with real innovation happening. The architecture story is actually fascinating. Traditional GPUs are massively parallel, but they're still fundamentally flexible, general-purpose processors. AI accelerators can be much more specialized. Think about it, like the difference between a Swiss Army knife and a chef's knife. A GPU is the Swiss Army knife. It can do a ton of things: graphics rendering, scientific simulation, AI training, gaming, whatever. A specialized AI chip is the chef's knife. It does one thing, but it does it incredibly well and with incredible efficiency. The challenge these challengers face is almost never the hardware itself. It's the software ecosystem. NVIDIA has spent over a decade and enormous resources building CUDA, CUDA and TensorArt, and a whole universe of optimized frameworks. Every major AI library, PyTorch, TensorFlow, JAX, has deep CUDA integration. When a startup says their chip is 10 times faster, the next question is, can I take my existing PyTorch training code and run it on your chip without rewriting everything? That's a hard problem. Some companies are tackling this head-on with MLyr compilers, custom runtimes, and compatibility layers. Others are building for inference-only deployments where the software stack is is simpler and they can offer a complete solution. Both are valid strategies. The inference-focused approach is probably the more realistic near-term opportunity because inference is where the volume is going to be enormous. Every time someone uses ChatGPT, does a search query with AI, or uses a recommendation engine, that's inference happening at massive scale. So when you hear 10 times faster than a GPU, ask the follow-up questions. Faster on what benchmark? Compared to which GPU? Is this silicon shipping today or a projection? Is there a real software stack? Who are the production customers? Those questions will tell you pretty quickly whether you're looking at a legitimate disruptor or a compelling slide deck. The hardware might be real, but the total package of hardware plus software plus ecosystem plus supply chain is what actually displaces NVIDIA. And that's an incredibly high bar. Story 4, NVIDIA Rubin versus Google's TPU v8, and the AI chip race is absolutely heating up. I love this matchup because these two represent really different philosophies about how you build AI hardware. Let me break down what we know about both and why this comparison matters so much. So NVIDIA's Rubin architecture is the next generation beyond Blackwell. We're talking about what comes after the current wave of H100 and H200 products. After Blackwell ships broadly, Rubin is expected to bring next-generation HBM integration, new NVLink interconnect speeds, and continued push on transformer engine capabilities for AI workloads. NVIDIA's architecture roadmap has been remarkably consistent. They deliver roughly annual improvements, and they telegraph the roadmap clearly so developers and data center operators can plan around it. Google's TPU, Tensor Processing Unit, is a completely different beast. Google has been building custom AI silicon internally since around 2016, and these chips are exclusively designed for machine learning workloads. No pretense of being general purpose. TPU v8, or whatever the latest iteration is called, represents years of Google learning exactly what their AI workloads need and optimizing silicon for exactly those patterns. Google trains models like Gemini on these things. That's not a test. That's production at the most demanding scale imaginable. The architectural philosophy difference is huge. NVIDIA's GPUs are still rooted in programmability and flexibility. You can run any CUDA code on them. TPUs are built around a specific computational model, matrix multiplications, which are the core of neural network operations. Everything about the memory hierarchy, the interconnect, the data flow is optimized for that. It's like the difference between a general contractor who can build anything versus a specialist who does nothing but reinforced concrete foundations. The specialist might be dramatically better and cheaper for that one specific job. What makes the Rubin versus TPU v8 comparison so interesting is the deployment model. NVIDIA sells chips, they sell systems. Companies buy H100 clusters and run them in their data centers or rent them from cloud providers. Google's TPUs are primarily available through Google Cloud. You're not buying a TPU and putting it in your rack. This shapes who uses them and how. Hyperscalers building their own AI infrastructure increasingly want to design their own silicon. Google, Amazon with Trainium and Inferentia, Microsoft with their Maya chip, they're all going down this path. And here's the implication for NVIDIA. As the biggest customers, the hyperscalers develop their own competitive silicon. NVIDIA's addressable market in that segment faces pressure. These companies are still buying enormous amounts of NVIDIA hardware, but the trajectory suggests they want to reduce that dependency over time. Rubin needs to be so compelling that even customers with their own silicon capabilities keep coming back. And honestly, NVIDIA has pulled that off so far. Their performance roadmap has consistently outpaced what the hyperscalers can build in-house. But it's a race, and Google, Amazon, and Microsoft are not standing still. The TPU also has a networking story that's underappreciated. Google built their own interconnect fabric for TPU pods. The way TPUs talk to each other is custom designed for distributed AI training. NVIDIA has NVLink and InfiniBand for the same purpose. The interconnect between chips is often as important as the chip itself for large-scale training. If you're training a trillion-parameter model, how fast data moves between thousands of chips determines your training time. Both companies have invested heavily here, and it's a genuine technical differentiator to watch. Last story today, and I think this is genuinely the most thought-provoking one. NVIDIA's biggest risk isn't AMD, it's not Broadcom's custom AI chips, it's not any of the startups we've talked about. According to this piece, the risk is something hidden in plain sight. And when I read through the argument, I think there's a lot of merit to it, so let's dig in. The argument is essentially this. The biggest threat to NVIDIA isn't a competitor building a better GPU, it's the nature of AI development itself potentially shifting in ways that reduce the need for the kind of hardware NVIDIA dominates. Specifically, the concern is around efficiency improvements in AI models, the idea that as researchers figure out how to train and run powerful AI models with dramatically less compute, the insatiable demand for H100 clusters could plateau or even decline. Think about what happened with the DeepSeek moment earlier this year. A Chinese AI lab published a model that reportedly achieved impressive performance at a fraction of the training compute cost of comparable Western models. Whether or not every claim held up under scrutiny, the market reaction was immediate and dramatic. NVIDIA's stock dropped significantly because investors suddenly questioned whether the AI compute buildout was as inevitable as everyone assumed. That's a preview of this risk in action. Moore's Law for AI efficiency, sometimes called algorithmic efficiency, has actually been moving faster than hardware improvements in some respects. Researchers keep finding ways to do more with less. Quantization, where you reduce the numerical precision of model weights to use less memory and compute. Distillation, where you train a small model to mimic a large one. Mixture of experts architectures, where only a fraction of the model activates for any given input. These are all techniques that reduce the raw compute requirement for a given level of AI capability. Now, the counterargument, and it's a strong one, is that in the history of computing, efficiency improvements have consistently led to more usage, not less demand for hardware. This is Jevons' paradox. When steam engines got more fuel efficient, coal consumption went up, not down, because suddenly steam engines were economical for more applications. The same might be true for AI, make it cheaper to run, and suddenly everyone wants to run more of it,